have a seat. Well, I'm already done after the manifestations and that song. That song was for me. I hope it blessed you. But, boy, it's a humbling experience to share God's word with God's perfect people, and I'm very blessed for the privilege. Well, let's get to work. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians, please, chapter 6. The topic is prayer. One way Jerry taught us last night that we can be especially good unto the household is to pray for each other. We're going to start here in Ephesians chapter 6. Let's look at verse 12, please. Ephesians 6:12. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers." It says that we wrestle not against, but against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The Bible says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but what we do wrestle against is spiritual powers. Now look down at verse 18, please. Here it lists some of the tools that God gives us. And verse 18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." How do we deal with spiritual problems? Spiritually. That's how you deal with spiritual problems. Prayer takes the problem out of the senses realm. Prayer takes it to where it belongs, in the spiritual realm, where we can get a spiritual remedy. You know, prayer takes discipline. It takes time. It takes time to pray. And it does take some discipline for us to make our minds stop and pray. But I hope that we're going to see from God's word how very effective that is to do it. Senses-oriented people will never pray much, other than the kind of prayer we're going to read about in a minute in the Gospels. But for those of us who want to be spiritually minded, praying for things is much more effective than many things that we could do in the senses realm. Let's go to Matthew 6, Matthew chapter 6. Did you ever see that movie, that Indiana Jones movie, where Professor Jones is pursuing some treasure? I forget which movie it was, but he comes up against this dude, this huge dude with these big samurai swords. It's my favorite scene in this movie. And the dude is like waving these swords and coming at him. You ever see that one? If you didn't, I'm sorry. But maybe you ought to rent it, you know, in your hotel room tonight. But in this thing, this dude, this huge dude, you know, with those funny balloon pants on, you know, he's coming at him with these swords. And here, Indiana Jones, he knows he's not going to win a sword fight, you know. So he just rolls his eyes, takes out his gun, and shoots him. Game over. Well, I think of prayer like that. I think this way, I'm sorry. We can deal with things. We're sure to lose a sword fight, you know. But when we pray for things, we bring it to a spiritual realm. We enlist the real power, God. And that's what we need in prayer. Okay, I gave you plenty of time to get to Matthew chapter 6. Let's go to verse 1. It's easy. It's the first verse. It says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." Well, that's kind of sad. So it would be smart for us not to do our alms before men. The word alms, it means to practice mercy or beneficence. It's a cool word. To show one's compassion. That's what this word means. Okay, so he says, don't show your compassion. Don't do your good deeds, your acts of righteousness or acts of kindness before men. If you do, you have no reward of God. If the whole point is for other people to see you, Well, God's not looking. Look at verse 2. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, when you do your good stuff, do not sound a trumpet before thee. We don't do this too often today, but you know. As the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, and they have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. What's their reward? Everybody saw them. Whoa, isn't that a super dude? Verse 3. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. This to us in our culture, we don't really understand it. You know, your left hand, your right hand. But in the times of the Bible, these people understood that the left hand was the hand of cursing, the right hand was the hand of blessing. And he says, don't even tell your left hand, which is like represents the worldly things of you, don't even let the worldly things of you know these great things that you're doing. You know, don't get your senses involved at all here. Don't get distracted by the things of this world, by the things of the senses. Verse 4, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, okay, first he told us how not to pray. Here he tells us how to pray. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. They love to pray, standing in the synagogue, in the corners of the street, that they can be seen of men. They have their reward. Well, we're not so interested in that, are we? Let's go to the next verse. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which is in secret, shall reward thee openly. We also, in our Western culture, don't understand this closet thing. It's not your linen closet. You know, you don't cram yourself in there between the sheets and the pillowcases, you know, and try to close the door. That's not what it's talking about. The closet here that it's talking about is actually your mind. It's talking about your heart. And when you close your heart, you're closing it off to all of those influences. Just like don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, you close off all of those things. You are locked in your thoughts in prayer to God. That's what it's talking about. See, we don't want to be distracted when we pray. We want to go with all of our heart to the Father for what we're praying about. And no doubt, let no doubt in. My gosh, if we listen to the manifestations this morning, God is so interested in hearing and answering our prayers. We should just not let any distracting thoughts come when we pray. Well, turn to Acts, please, chapter 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, chapter 4. Let's just take a little peek at what the apostles and the early church Christians did. In Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Here they had a whole lot of things happen. The believers were threatened. And here's the prayer that they prayed. You know, really we can learn an awful lot about prayer by looking at what people prayed for in the Bible. Well, here's one of the first prayers in the Christian church, verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. What did they ask for? Boldness. Boldness to do what? People, when we've got God's will in mind, that's really the thing we should focus on in praying. And what their interests were was that the word of God moved, that the word of God could continue. What a great example. Let's go to Acts chapter 12, please. By the time we get to Acts chapter 12, there was a big challenge facing the church. One of the wonderful believers had been killed. Another one was taken captive, was put in jail. Look at verse 1 of chapter 12. Now at that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased, I guess James didn't have a gun. Verse 3. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had appeared unto him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. And I love this verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Peter was in prison, but prayer was made. That's a really cool verse. He was in prison. What did the believers do? They didn't get a petition together. They didn't march on City Hall. No one called Al Sharpton, you know. What did they do? You know, some people, they resort to that, right? I try to think of all the remedies in my mind. What did they do? They enlisted the big guns. They went to God continually in prayer. This without ceasing, it means earnestly, intently, assiduously. Use that one on your friends. That means diligently or tirelessly, persistently. They went to God with all of their heart and hung on in prayer until the answer came. And if you read later, you find out they were even surprised it came so fast. You know, there's an example of a guy in the Old Testament, Saul, who was in a situation because of his sin, and it says that he inquired of the Lord, but he didn't ask with his whole heart. He didn't go to the Lord diligently, assiduously. He was going through the motions. And in Chronicles, God says he didn't even go to him at all. God says he didn't even ask. If we go that way, that's what we get. That's the reward that we get. But if we go with our hearts, if we go to God open with our hearts, close off the other things, and we lock in and pray, we get the answer that we need. And that's what they did here. You know, when you pray for people, you become part of their life. And that's what I think is so fantastic for us in this body of Christ. I look around here, I can see so many, many answered prayers. You know, a few years ago, Anthony Abramo came to me and said, we want to have kids. And it just wasn't happening. And he said, would you pray? And so I suggested he take horny goat weed and that he have apple cider vinegar and, you know, and wait until the 14th of the month and, you know, all of that. No, I don't know any of that stuff. I don't even know what horny goat weed is. But sounds cool, though, doesn't it? Either way. But you know what I did? Like, maybe some of you also did that new. I prayed. I'm somewhat responsible for Sophia being born. All I did was pray, people. That's all I did. But I prayed. And then they had another 7 or 8 kids, and the rest is history. I quit praying, by the way, for that. But look, that's true here for all of us. Well, not quite that. But we have needs, and we go to each other and we ask. And what do as believers? We pray. Reverend Jerry Carr was in the hospital for a long time. We are all sharing in that victory because we all prayed. That's my victory, too. It's your victory, too. God won. Kathy Bonnet, I can tell you so many thousands. Kirstie Nafee, all these people. Jeremy Lowe is nearly dead. If it wasn't for Susan Pittenger and for some other people praying for Jeremy, I don't know what'd be happening. But my gosh, they did. People, we get to be a part of each other's lives when we pray for each other. What a privilege we have. I could go on and on. We could spend hours on that. We could go around the room, because looking at you, there's things that I know, and my memory isn't that great, but things that I know that I prayed for you and they came to pass. That's a victory for God and for me. And you know, there's people in our fellowships that have needs. Somebody might have a broken heart. Someone else might need to get married. They so want to get married. Somebody might have trouble sleeping. What do we do for those people? The Bible says we should pray. To hear a need is a call to prayer. Let's go to Galatians 6, please. Galatians chapter 6. This is one way we're especially good to each other. Galatians chapter 6. We saw these two verses last night that we're going to read again today. Galatians 6. The Bible says we're to bear each other's burdens, and let's just look at this beautiful thing here. Page 215. Okay. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, crucify him. Beat the hell out of him. Have nothing to do with him. Tell everybody how stupid this person is. Oh, I guess we better read what it says. It says, you who are so spiritual, restore such an one. You know, it's the tendency today, I don't know as much about around us, but that when somebody sees somebody have a need, they kind of make fun of them, or they look at them and they talk to everyone else about it. What good does that do? Unless we're looking for prayer. It says here, restore such an one. I love these words. I have to tell you this. Okay. Overtaken. It means to be caught off guard. This is really cool. You know, actually, the basis of this word is that something is found out before it could be resisted or before it was found out. Sometimes it's used as a surprise. This means somebody, they're not like, it's not like premeditated murder or something like that, but they get caught off. They get caught off guard. That's what this is talking about. If someone gets caught off guard by the adversary, you know, they took a wrong turn. The word fault is a lapse or a deviation from truth and uprightness, a falling aside. You know, people, sometimes we fall aside, every single one of us. We make a wrong turn. The devil gets to us. Oh, while we're here, okay, keep your finger here, please. Go to Revelation chapter 12. This is an extra for you here. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 10. We're in a pretty rough world. It's pretty tough out there. And people, sometimes we get caught. Sometimes we get caught off guard. I like to think of it as making a wrong turn. And in verse 10, here's part of the reason why. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength. This is in a future administration. And the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. Who's it talking about? Our adversary, the devil. He accuses the brethren before God day and night. He's constantly accusing. Let's go back to Galatians, please. It says for us to restore. To restore. Jerry told us last night it's to put back in the former state or to reinstate. You know, this is the same word that's used in the Gospels for mending nets. You know, it's used in the medical of healing bones when bones heal. You know, they just mesh back together again. That's how we help to restore one another. That's what God tells us to do. You know, today I might be the one that took a wrong turn and you had to help me. Tomorrow it might be you and you need my help. That's how we help each other in the body. And then look at verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Prayer is one of the greatest ways to lighten somebody's load. And you know, I don't know much that's heavier than sin. Sin weighs down on us. It, like in Hebrews where it says it's all around us, besets us all around, or it's standing all around us. Sin pushes down on us. It's a heavy load, people. And one way we can help each other is to pray. Look at this one in James, please. Let's go to James. James, Peter, John, Jude, Revelation. James chapter 5. When someone has a need, the Bible says the first thing for us to do is pray. Is to pray. And wouldn't that be a great habit for us to be in? And I think that many of you are in that habit, that when you see a need, it's a call to pray. The first thing we do. You know, when somebody comes to you and asks for help in God's word, for counseling, I think you're crazy if you just try, you know, go all your wisdom and all these verses you know without first praying. Ask God. Go to God for what that need is. You know, the answer comes a lot quicker that way. James chapter 5, and look at verse 16. Confess your faults one to another. James chapter 5, verse 16. Everyone there? Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It says, confess your faults. This doesn't mean, you know, you tell everything that's wrong with you to everybody. Good Lord, we don't need that. But, you know, let's say I have a need and I need help on something. I took a wrong turn and I go to Taylor and I say, Taylor, I need help. I got to probably tell him what's wrong, right? So I confess to him my fault. I say, well, I kind of got caught in this one area. Can you help me? That's confessing your faults. That's what it's talking about. That word fault, it's the same word that we read in Galatians. It's where you just kind of took a wrong turn, you know? You just kind of got caught before you could catch it. The adversary's in there accusing us day and night, accusing us. He's after us all the time. Sometimes we get caught. Well, we can get help. And then this word healed here, it is a word for healed, but it also means to be free from error and sin. See, that's how we help each other. We pray for each other to be free from sin and error. Isn't that cool? That's what that word means there. The Revised Standard Version then has, for the rest of this verse, the prayer of a righteous man has great power in its effect. You see, because it's not that when you read this, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, if you read it in King James, it kind of sounds like he prayed the perfect prayer, you know? So he studied and had the perfect words to say, and that was the that it has nothing to do with that. You know, none of us are going to be that great in our prayers. You know, you could go to school for it and everything else, I guess. But it's not talking about that. It's talking about the effect of the prayer. The effect of the righteous man's prayer. It's effectual. It gets the job done. Dr. Werwell once said, think of your life as the dropping of a pebble in a pond. The prayer of one man with believing affects the whole world. That's the prayer of a righteous man. Well, go to 1 Thessalonians, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to look at the example of Paul. He was kind of a busy guy. You know, the whole church, the care of all the churches. He was busy. But you know what he disciplined himself to do? To take time to pray. You're right. And it's all over the place. We're just going to look at a couple. 1 Thessalonians 1, look at verse 2. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. This without ceasing means without intermission, incessantly. It means it's also that word assiduously. Very diligently he went to God with his whole heart. Paul and these people intensely prayed for those people that they had just met in Thessalonica. They prayed for them. They were in their heart. Look at 2 Timothy, please. So Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, then comes 2 Timothy. Chapter 1. They just thank God for those believers. Boy, what a great family we have. I thank God for you. We ought to be so thankful we have each other. You know, we could be at a dental conference right now. They probably know what assiduously means. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, it says, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. Oh my gosh, look at how much he thought about and cared for Timothy. Night and day, Paul thought of him all the time. He was in his heart. Those Thessalonian believers were in his heart. You know, when somebody's in your heart, you talk about them. Have you ever been with somebody who was so in love? All they do is talk about that person. Oh, this person that. You're like, all right already, I get it. But it's a beautiful thing, isn't it? That they're so, that's how Paul was. Those Thessalonian believers, I just love them. You know, all right, Paul, we get it. But it was in his heart. It was in his heart. And so incessantly and with discipline, he went to God in prayer for them. You know, these light bearers in Atlanta, how come they're doing so great? Well, it really doesn't hurt that you all pray for them every day. My gosh, what a wonderful thing that is, that we can go to God in prayer. 1 Kings. Okay, got to look at this one. 1 Kings chapter 18. Samuel Kings. Chapter 18. Verse 28, 18:28. Here are some very diligent prayers. These people were pagan prayers, but there's something we just have to look at here, okay? 1 Kings 18:28, it says, "And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them." Okay, that's some very... very intense prayer that they were doing. They were cutting themselves in blood. Just get that mind picture. Sorry, but just for a second, okay? Just get that mind picture. This blood is just gushing out of them as they're cutting themselves and they're doing their little prayer dance. All right? By the way, this prayer was never answered. And so they could have saved a lot of blood. But the reason we look there is to go to Psalms. Let's go to Psalm 62. This is the reason I wanted to show you that. Let's go to Psalm 62. God doesn't ask for bloodletting. It's okay. 62. And look at verse 8. Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in him at all times. Talking about trust in God. At all times, you people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. This pour out your heart is the same word in the Hebrew as that blood that gushed out. That's what God wants us to pour out, gush out our heart to him. That does take a little intensity, doesn't it? For us to gush out our heart. Everything on your heart. God told us in manifestations today about how he sees every little bit of our heart. He sees every bit of our mind. That's what he wants us to gush out, everything in our heart to him. That's how our prayers can be. Let's go to, where do I want to go? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. You know, in order for a great move of God's word, it takes a lot of prayer. Last week I was in Atlanta, Georgia, and Jerry showed us the bench in Piedmont Park where he sat for 3 days. He went to that park and prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he watched, and he prayed. And then he decided after those 3 days that that was the place where he was going to send the light bearers. People, when we want to see God's word move, it's going to take a little time for us in prayer. We can save a lot of time. A lot of sword fighting can be gone if we decide to take the time in prayer. It's a beautiful thing. And we do it for each other. If you have a need, I can look at you and go, oh, I knew they were going to have that problem. Or I could pray. Which one do you think would be more beneficial? Okay, I told you 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Pray for us that the word of God can move. Praying for people is a leader's responsibility. Let's go back to 1 Samuel. I don't know, did we ever go to 1 Samuel before? Well, we're going to go there now, okay? I was there earlier today, were you? 1 Samuel chapter 12. The Bible tells us all to pray, and it very specifically says for a leader, it's a responsibility to pray. And there's two verses I want to look at regarding that. And the first one is here in 1 Samuel chapter 12. And look at verse 23. Boy, what a privilege we have to pray for each other. To go to God for a spiritual solution to a problem in this world. This was a pretty bad time. The people were rejecting Samuel. They were rejecting God. Samuel could have just said, I don't like these people. You know, they don't like me. They don't like God. But look at what he says here. Verse 23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I'll teach you the good and the right way. Oh my gosh. There is the heart of a leader. Let's go to Ezekiel. Okay, so it's Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Whew, Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel, we had to get to Ezekiel sometime. Chapter 22. You know, this was a personal attack on Samuel. And yet what he decided to do was to go to God for these people. Ezekiel 22, look at verse 30. Hear God talking. 22, verse 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me and the land for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. God says, I've been searching and searching. I've been looking for someone who's going to make up the hedge, someone that's going to stand in the gap. People, sometimes our prayers are the only thing that are standing between the adversary and somebody who has a need. Our prayers, we go to God for them. God's looking. He's out there looking for people who will take the time, who will make the discipline to pray for God's people. That's something great that we can do for each other to be especially good. Another thing Dr. Werwell said once, man seldom gets around to believing God until he's exhausted all his energy trying to do it himself. Look at Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Better get to the New Testament. Colossians. You know, sometimes your prayer is the only thing that you can do for someone, but I hate using the word only, because frankly, if we pray and believe a little more, we probably don't have to run around so much. Colossians chapter 4, and look at verse 12. Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who's one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. What was his service? Prayer. It's a big service. He got written in God's word for eternity because of that service. Romans chapter 8. You ever have trouble getting the perfect gift for somebody? I used to agonize over it. Now I don't care anymore. No, it's not true. But anyway, there is something that we can do perfectly for everyone, and that's in Romans chapter 8. It's nice to know there's something we can do perfectly. Romans chapter 8. Prayer is our gift to each other. It's a way that we are especially good and we bring spiritual solutions to problems in this world. Romans 8, look at verse 26. Here, God's given us this perfect, wonderful power. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The New American Standard version of verse 26 I want to read to you, I kind of like this one. It says, in the same way the Spirit also helps our weakness. It's in the singular. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. We have a need. I don't know how to pray for somebody perfectly, and neither do you. I'd like a volunteer, please. One volunteer. Dave, stand up, please, sir. It's not going to hurt. Okay, I would like everyone, please, to pray for Dave right now. Okay, if you speak in tongues, please speak in tongues silently for him. Great, thank you. Now, does anybody know what Dave... Thank you, Dave. Does anyone, everyone here know all of his needs? But you know what you just did? Dude, you had the best job here so far today. All of these people just prayed for you. You know what we just did? We gave him something perfect. I don't know what his needs are. I just met him today. How could I possibly know? But I prayed. I spoke in tongues. That's a perfect way of praying for him. The perfect thing. God knows what his needs are. So, took care of it. Well, 1 John chapter 3. Do you know the Bible says that Jesus Christ is our advocate? He's our intercessor. And it says in Hebrews that night and day, Jesus Christ is making intercession for us. The devil night and day is accusing us. Jesus Christ night and day is going to God for us. He's our advocate with the Father. That's pretty nice to have. 1 John chapter 3. Okay, I'm in Thessalonians. Get it together, Gilmore. Timothy, Philemon, Hebrews, James, Peter. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. It says, but whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? People, if I see that you have a need, that's a call for me to pray. That's something I do have that I can do. We just all did it, right? That's something we can do for each other. To see a need is a call to prayer. Another thing Dr. Werewolf said I thought was really cool. People, you need to take time for prayer and the Word. If you're not doing this, you're too busy expending your life on second-rate causes. Well, we're going to close in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. One of the shortest verses in the Bible. So if you want, you could say you learned one retemery right now, okay? I wrote down something. I was reading about this guy named George Mueller. George Mueller was a man who lived around the same time as Charles Dickens, the times that he wrote about, you know, and he helped all these orphans. And he was a man of great prayer, and, you know, he had thousands and thousands of kids that he took care of every day because he prayed, because he believed that God would take care of their needs. He never asked for money, ever, once. And sometime it came down to the very day that those people needed food, and it just showed up. One case of a milk truck broke down right in front of the orphanage. How convenient. You know, these things happened all the time. But here's a quote. Here's something that he said that I thought was really just tremendous. He said, I live in the spirit of prayer. I pray as I walk about, when I lie down, and when I rise up. And the answers are always coming. Thousands and tens of thousands of times have my prayers been answered. When once I'm persuaded that a thing is right, and for the glory of God, I go on praying for it until the answer comes. And then he said, George Mueller never gives up. Well, one thing that the Word of God tells us to do is to pray. And when we pray, people, let's not give up. Let's not give up until we get that answer. I want to see more Sophias in the world. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Ready for this? Pray without ceasing. All right, God bless you. Sure love you.